This episode of Chats with the Chatfields is brought to you by
Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplement.
Welcome to Chats with the Chatfields. This is a podcast to expand your idea of what impacts veterinarians, pet owners, and basically all animal lovers in the galaxy as humans. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Jen the Vet.
And I'm Dr. Jason Chatfield.
If you've not yet subscribed to our show,
why not?
Just go to chatfieldshow.com and subscribe today. If you want to reach us, you can find me with any message of love and positivity at jen@chatfieldshow.com.
And for all other messages, you can find me at jason@chatfieldshow.com.
Okay, today we are going to be talking about something I think is really important to everyone on the planet, of course.
Right. Well, I'm saying whoa, though. That means you're supposed to stop talking.
Whoa.
What? For those of you that are watching the video, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you that are just listening to the audio, I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Jen DeVette has on a beautiful, beautiful, but very, very large hat. Why are you wearing a hat indoors? What's happening?
Well, thank you so much for noticing and for complimenting my hat. I love my hat.
That's lovely.
Yeah. So the reason that I have it on is because I just came from an excellent weekend of seeing some incredibly beautiful horses. I mean, it was so spectacular.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, because when you're looking, as everyone knows, Jason, when you're looking at fancy horses, you must wear a big hat. Fancy hat.
All right. So this is getting way off subject here, but do the dudes wear hats or just the ladies?
I mean, some guys wore hats, but they, of course, were not so large as mine. But anyway, the point of this all is not to talk about.
Wait, hold on. I want to know. Do they like baseball hats, like derbies? Like, what are they wearing?
No. They wear like nice hat, like, you know, not baseball caps, Jason.
Okay.
You got to class it up.
I'm just wondering if I could make it over there or not. Okay, carry on. Explain to us why you're wearing a hat and how it relates to today's episode.
Well, the reason that I have my hat on is, number one, I love an excuse to wear a giant hat. And number two, to remind me, because we're going to be talking about disaster preparedness, and horse owners like have a particularly tricky situation when we talk about disaster preparedness. And in fact, there was a study that was done in the UK recently because, you know, we had a natural disaster called the pandemic. And in the UK, it turned out the majority of horse owners were unprepared, woefully unprepared for disaster.
Wow. I like the relation. That was very good. Very good segue.
Yes, a segue and a lovely excuse to wear my hat. But I can't wear it for the whole episode.
What?
I can't. All right. I can't. Look. Okay. I love it. Okay.
If you have a horse in the UK, you apparently most likely were not prepared for any sort of pandemic. That's what you're telling me.
That is correct. So now I'm going to break a Dana Perino rule and I'm going to take a hat off on camera.
Oh, that's
so I can put my headphones on.
Okay, well, we're all watching. Let's go. We get a drum roll.
I know. It's the trials. It's the trials and tribulations of being a podcast host.
Right. I get it.
When you want to wear your beautiful giant hat.
And you don't want to wear it the entire issues, episode. I don't know why you don't wear it the whole episode. It looks great.
Well, I mean, I can't wear it the whole episode.
All right. Got your hat off. Back to being serious. Disaster preparedness. Let's go. Disaster preparedness as it relates to what? Being a person, being a pet owner, being a veterinarian, all of the above. What's happening here?
Well, as a friend of mine reminds me routinely, disasters happen to everyone. Right. So disasters happen to good people. Disasters happen to bad people. Disasters happen to criminals. Disasters happen to honest people. No one is immune from the impact of a disaster. And if you don't know that after the blip called 2020, you've been living under a very giant rock. Okay.
Correct.
So one of the things that I find helpful, as you know, is data.
Yeah, you love data. That's for sure.
I do love data.
Not the Android, but maybe him too. But we're not talking about that.
I mean, who's not a Star Trek fan, right? Okay. So what I do want to talk about is throw some numbers at people who are thinking right now, like, oh, for heaven's sakes, is this going to be like another show where people try to tell us all about how we're not prepared? And, you know, we should all have like a bunker somewhere with tons of canned chili or something. No, this is not that. Right, Jason?
Right. Because canned chili doesn't even sound very good. This is about being prepared, but maybe not that prepared.
Yeah. And so and
maybe not for that kind of disaster. I don't know.
Yeah. So not only what can happen, but so like what can you do? What are some steps that a reasonable person can take to be prepared as a pet owner, as an animal lover, and just as a human who wants to better survive natural disasters, right?
So I want to be all of those.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right.
Who doesn't? So Jason, I know you've been, so for all the folks who don't know, the chat room is located, well, metaphorically, it's located wherever you are, but for real, in IRL, in real life, it's located in Florida, which is, you may know, is a peninsula, which is prone to
big storms.
Hurricanes. Yeah. Right. Hurricanes. And actually, hurricane season is almost upon us. And so it's always a great time to discuss hurricanes and all those sorts of things. So we're going to be slightly hurricane centric. Spoiler alert. But I think that
But that's okay, because I think everything we're going to talk about can pertain to just about anything, right? Because the idea is to be prepared, not necessarily prepared specifically, but you never know what's going to happen. So most of the stuff we talk about, yes, we're going to relate to hurricanes because that's where we are. But, you know, it can be for just about anything. Wouldn't you agree?
I would 100% agree. Yeah. 100% agree. And that's why I say don't tune out just because you live in like landlocked Nebraska.
Yeah, right? I was going to go with Iowa, but okay.
Okay. All right. So anyway, don't tune out just because of that. And don't tune out just because you live on that other coastline, the Pacific coast, which is beautiful, but not so prone to hurricanes. So anyhow, and I guess I should qualify it and say that the Atlantic hurricane season is almost upon us.
Correct.
Right.
We are. Yes, that's right. We are worldwide, actually. So,
I mean, that's us. Worldwide podcasters. Yeah. So, yeah. So, Jason. So, tell me, like why? Because I know that in the last few years, you've become my brother, who is much more prepared for different events. So, what caused you to kind of up your game, so to speak?
Yeah, so I don't know if I up any game, right? I just didn't like the feeling. And so what had happened was...
What happened?
I moved to Florida 1 year, right? But I moved in August, right? I had no idea what's happening. This is 2000-something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, and not just Florida, but you know, Central Florida off the coast, and we all know what can happen there. And it just so happened to be middle of hurricane season. I didn't know what that was coming from Texas, just out of school. I was like, yeah, whatever, who cares? And then sure enough, like 3 weeks after I moved to Florida, not only did a hurricane hit, it hit directly on the property. I was actually taking care of a property with a whole bunch of animals, like a, you know, 5,000 sort of exotic antelope animals. Anyways, and directly over it. And when I say we were hit by the hurricane, not peripherally, the eye of the hurricane literally went over the property. I stood outside through the eye, and which if anyone knows, and you can't help but know nowadays, you know, the wind around the eye is the most intense, and it's extremely intense. Anyways, so I went through that more or less mentally, physically, everything else unprepared. I had no idea what kind of disaster that could be. So ever since then, you know, I try to be a little bit more prepared. I mean, we were the typical story. We're out of power for like 8 weeks. And let me
I don't think that's typical. Eight weeks without power in the United States.
Right.
I don't think it's typical.
Well, to be fair, it was the beginning of this crazy hurricane situation we had seemingly every year. It was the first one in a very long time that was that big. It was Hurricane Charlie. I think it came ashore as a Category 4, may have been barely a 5. I don't really know. It was very small, but like a buzzsaw just kind of ripped up everything, and nobody, not just not just me, but nobody seemingly was prepared, including energy and all that, and gas and all that.
Well, it didn't matter if you were prepared for Charlie, because you got a second to, as a community, take a breath. Because then, like, the next week you were hit by another hurricane.
Right.
And then, and not just the second one. Then you had a third hurricane.
Right.
And then, another giant named hurricane. Four total, I think, came ashore in like a 6 or 8 week span of time.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was my first time down there. So I wasn't prepared. Yeah. And to be honest, after the first one, it didn't really matter.
Right. Like,
what was messed up was already messed up, and you had no power anyway. So you said, okay, great, another one. But it was an interesting time, learned a lot. And ever since then, you know, as it pertains to work, as it pertains to animal care, as it pertains to human, you know, health, sort of pay a little more attention. So it's a typical story. Had to experience it myself, went through it, didn't like it. And now things are a little bit different in my life when it gets around that time of year. So,
yeah, I think that's fantastic. So we are going to talk a little bit about that. And a lot of people who are pet owners or animal lovers in the United States, they own businesses, they own small businesses. And so the reason I bring that up is because we do have statistics on who survives or like what activities continue following natural disaster impact. Okay. And I'm getting these statistics from FEMA. So they arrive on the scene of almost every single, disaster of significant impact in the United States. And so they're universal, I would say, these statistics. So, 40 to 60% of businesses, these are small businesses, 40 to 60% of them do not reopen after a disaster.
Oh my gosh.
Right. That's almost like the same stat for success of a marriage, right? That's crazy.
Right. It's hard enough to have a small business, let alone a small business going through a hurricane and then not survive. A disaster of any kind and not survive. That is a crazy statistic.
Yes. There's a crazy statistic that floats around out there that says like more than 90% of businesses. And I think the caveat is going to be without a plan, but more than 90% of businesses will fail within 2 years following a disaster. Now, that statistic includes things like significant data loss. So whether like a flood produces the data loss for your business, or whether it is, structural impact produces data loss, or just like a kerfuffle, a hiccup with your server and it melts down because of the data loss, I think that the data loss is significant. So that 90% number has to do with data loss.
Yeah, it doesn't say it has to be a natural disaster. Any kind of disaster. 90% is a giant. I don't know if you understand math or not, but 90% is a pretty big number.
I know a little math. Yeah, I didn't get the math degree of the two of us. However, I do know a little math. So I think that's interesting. And if nothing else, I spit out those numbers for people to underscore the fact that you need a plan.
Right.
You don't have to be a business to have a plan. Right. And I will say, if everyone hears, like, Dr. Jason is not on a playground, but school is now out for the year.
Yes. I apologize. We'll take care of that in just a minute. But yes, right. School is out today. It's interesting.
Yes. So we're going to take a break for Dr. Jason to go regulate on the playground that is his wing of the chat room.
Yeah, I guess.
And we'll be right back. And what we're going to do after the break is we're going to talk to you about what does a plan look like, who should have a plan, and why you should have a plan. So,
with all the fuss happening in the pet food industry, why not invest in something to help guard against digestive health derangements in your pet? Full Buckets probiotics are formulated by veterinarians to support your pet's normal digestive health. Your pet's gut microbiome is integral to their immune system performance. Why not add Full Buckets Daily Dog or Daily Cat probiotic powder to your pet's daily routine to curate, protect, maintain, and strengthen your pet's microbiome? Visit fullbuckethealth.com today to check out all of their veterinary strength supplements.
Okay, welcome back to the chat room where we are talking about all things disaster preparedness, impact, and response. And as I said, we have a little bit of information about that. And we talked about right before the break how you should have a plan. And actually, what I think is hilarious is, Jason, did you know that these sorts of plans, the one you should have for a disaster, they have a name?
I just thought it was, well, I got my own name for it, but I thought it was just the plan. No, I didn't know they had an official name. No doubt you're about to give it to us.
I am.
No, and, good.
And, you know, I think a lot of times that pet owners just like they don't realize that they are that important, right? So there is a name and they should have this type of plan. Get ready for it. Wait for it. Poultry lovers. The plan is called a coop.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I didn't understand where you're going with the poultry lovers. I don't know. What's a chicken plan? What's going on here? I understand that, but it's called a coop. I get it.
It's a coop.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And so it's the COOP, C-O-O-P stands for Continuity of Operations Plan. And I like to say, and I, you know, we don't discriminate here in the chat room. We don't discriminate. Whatever type of creature that you love is the one that we love. And so we say here, everyone needs a plan, people, pets, and marmosets.
Ah, that's good. People, pets, and marmosets.
Yeah, everyone needs a plan. And it's a coop plan, continuity of operations. And what that looks like for a pet owner is how are you going to continue to provide care and keep your pet alive or your animal? And I think that's where horse owners run into trouble. What do you think?
Right. They're a little bit bigger, more stuff. Just the physical size, I think, causes some issues, right?
Yeah. And not every horse owner has a trailer.
No.
No, they don't. When I owned a horse, I didn't have a horse trailer.
You owned a horse?
Please. Yes, of course I did.
I didn't know you had a horse.
I did. For about a minute, but no, it was longer than that. But I did.
But I bet you knew a guy with a trailer.
I did know guys who knew some guys. Yes.
Yeah, of course, you had to, right?
As my superpower.
Of course, I can't ride them everywhere.
Right. Because, and that's what I think is funny too, is it's not like, what is the name of that horse of that movie, Codigo or whatever? You can't like just get on the back of the horse and run from the disaster.
right. Also, those with horses, they may have a trailer, but I doubt they have a trailer for every horse all at once.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Like that.
Some people have many horses. That might be a really big truck.
Yes. I thought you meant many, horses. Not many.
No, many. Many. Big.
Mini.
Yeah.
Because if you have a mini horse, you can almost put them in the back of the station wagon, right?
Correct. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, so I think the first key is you don't have to have everything, but you need to know some guys who know some guys. And so if you don't keep enough feed, like if you live in like a hurricane prone area, or if you live, in tornado alley where tornadoes happen, during those times of year when those, disasters are more likely, then you need to be more prepared. Right. So like for hurricane season, what that looks like is, you should have enough feed at all times available. Now that means maybe at your farm or at your neighbor's farm, you make a deal because they have a facility, a place they can store it, where you have 30 days worth of feed available.
Yeah, because people forget the supply chain. As we all learned this past year, the supply chain is super important. We just take it for granted that all of a sudden we can go get whatever we want. But when that gets interrupted, you know, way on down the line or previously down the line, stops you from getting your food. So don't necessarily have to have it at your house, just be able to get to it without relying on, you know, delivery trucks or anything like that. So,
or the feed store being open. Cause
being able to drive there. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
But just even if you can drive there, feed store might be closed.
Right.
Welcome. Thanks, COVID. We all learned that, right? I could get to the feed store, but it was closed. Right. And, you know, it's one thing to say all that if you have horses, especially if you have horses that go to events where I might get to wear my fancy hat. But if you have a creature, if your pet has a sensitive stomach, you know how important maintaining their same diet is. Because no one wants to deal with raging enteritis during
ever.
Disaster. Yeah.
Or ever.
You know, during a disaster. So like if you have a little poodlet and they, you know, when the phases of the moon change, your poodle gets HGE or pancreatitis flares up or something like this. Hey, friend, maybe have a little bit of extra food on hand for that poodlette during whatever your disaster season is.
Right. You don't have a poodlette, but you got a new little love bug there. So do you, Dr. Genevieve, have 30 days worth of food?
For Cozy?
Yeah.
For the Farm Fresh Frenchie?
Yes.
Yes. So luckily she has like the iron stomach.
got plenty of stuff she can eat then.
She could eat anything, but I want her to stay on her appropriate diet if possible. Now, in the end, you can make decisions differently, right? Like, what is the axiom we say? You can survive for 3 minutes without air, for 3 days without water, and for 30 days without food. But
I don't know who says that, but it sounds true.
Right. But like, we don't want to test that.
3 minutes without air to be hard. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's the threes, you know, it's like pigs, the pig gestation, 3 months, 3 weeks, yeah. 3 days. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but if you have goats and pigs, that brings up another thing. If you have goats and pigs, you know, having the feed on hand, maybe not as critical because they could eat anything. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. Although I don't recommend that as a veterinarian, please do not hear me recommending as a veterinarian that you feed all kinds of crap to your goats or pigs. But another thing I think is important for people to realize too, is that if you're stressed, your creature is stressed.
Correct. But what has that got to do with hurricane storms, disaster preparedness? How can you help but be stressed? What are you trying to say?
You may or may not know this, but during preparations for Hurricane Irma and during Hurricane Irma, it's possible that one lovely young veterinarian that we know in the chat room may have eaten an entire package of Oreos by herself in like a 2 hour period.
It's been known to happen in periods of stress. No one would have blamed said aforementioned young veterinarian.
I know. I did. I was so anxious. I was so panicked and I didn't even realize it until the last couple of Oreos.
Yeah,
and
plus, Oreos are really good.
Yeah. When someone pointed out to me, they're like, little bit of an anxious eater, are we? And I was like, well, stand far away so I don't hit you when you say that to me at this point in time, because I am anxious, as you may have noticed. But so pets are the same way. They can be anxious eaters. And so all of that anxiety and stress can lead to complications further down the road for your pet that you do not have the time, may not have the resources to deal with because your veterinarian's closed, the emergency clinic is closed, and all of them cost a lot of money if they are open that you don't necessarily have lying about during a disaster. So let's avoid that. So things like probiotics, those are very helpful. Those are helpful for me.
Right.
And so there are probiotics on the market that are helpful for pets. They should be specific to what type of pet you have, but yeah, have those on hand. I think that's a good thing. So you want to have food on hand, your regular diet that your creature eats, whether that's a horse, a cow, a chicken, a pig, goat, or Cosette, the Farm Fresh Frenchie. You also want to make sure that you have probiotics potentially available. Whatever it is that supports your pet's healthy gut, that's what you want to have because that's when they're going to need it the most, right? And then another piece of the plan is, where are you going to go?
The actual hurricane evacuation plan, disaster plan.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just a hurricane. So
no, I keep saying hurricane. I told you I've been through it. I'm like, that's all I think about. Right. So
yeah. Like, but you know, what if there's some problem in your area and all of a sudden you're
like a fire.
Water. Yeah. Oh, a fire. That's a fire.
That's a real deal on the other coast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every year
there's wildland fires. Right. And right. So, if that happens and you have to bolt from your place, what are you going to do with your creatures?
Yeah.
You got to take them with you. So you need to have a place to go where they'll take you. You know, we don't
or have a place to take them.
Exactly. We don't discriminate here in the chat room, but some places do. And so they don't want your lizard. They don't want your snake. They don't want your bird coming with you. So you got to find a place that will like you and take in you and your diversified family.
Well, the good news is, there's a lot more tolerance. I don't know if that's the right word for pets nowadays in some of these kind of shelter areas. And they're really, you know, good about that. And they come out and tell you can bring your pets, you can do this, or, hey, we don't accept your pets here, but go to this place down the road, right? And they will accept your pets. We're just not ready for it. So it's been an aforethought of more and more people. So I think that's good.
Well, I think yes and no, Dr.
Why?
Jason.
Why no?
Yeah, I'm going to argue with you about that because I think the idea of accepting people's pets when there's a mandatory evacuation, I think that idea is accepted, but I don't think the actual execution or action of throwing open the doors and accepting people's pets is as good as it could be.
Oh, okay.
I should say. Yeah. So
there's no argument. I think you're probably right. I think that it sounds, I think the actual practice of accepting, mm-hmm. Someone with 14 dogs or whatever probably isn't exactly what they had in mind. And it's probably mm-hmm. not as accepted as they are trying to be, because it's difficult, right?
Right.
It's like a double-edged sword here. It's difficult.
Right. And so I think you're making a mistake as a pet owner if you're depending on someone else, like the government, if you're depending right. on a shelter for people to accept you and your pets. I think that's a mistake. I think you're planning to have a further disaster of your own. And of course, that's just my opinion as Dr. Jen the vet. But I think that that is a mistake. So you need to find a place that you can go depending on where the disaster is coming from. So that's by that, I mean, just one location is not good. You need to have several right. options so that if one doesn't work out, and I need to be outside an area that's likely to be impacted by the disaster as you are. So don't pick your neighbor. No, don't pick your neighbor. Pick someone who is a significant distance away from you or significantly protected, I would guess, from whatever disaster you're going to look to them for as a secondary location. So yeah. Okay. So you're going to get food. You're going to have things to support your pet's gut health, et cetera. You're going to have a place to go and a way to get there with your pet. I mean, what else do you need to know? Do you need to know anything else?
You should, right? You should need to know some other stuff. What about medication?
Yes.
What if your dog's on a chronic medication? Should you have enough of that? Sometimes you can't get enough of that. What should people do about that? That's a tough one, right?
Yeah, well, I think every pet should be on medication. It's called preventive medication because, I mean, preventive meds for animals and for humans, frankly, these days are so good and so right. effective. And so, every dog or cat should be on flea, tick, and heartworm prevention. And right now people are thinking, okay, Dr. Jen the vet, like that's once a month. So really, we're not going to be recovered from something in a month? Well,
let me raise my hand. Sometimes you're not.
Sometimes you're not. What were you just talking about, Jason? Right. 8 weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff. It's not just that. I mean, there's a supply chain problem. It's not just you getting in your house with the air conditioning on or whatever. It's just there's just a lot of things that go into getting the product. You know, we're a little bit spoiled with going to the vet or going to the store, or going wherever, and just having what we want at hand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not that easy. You have to have you need to at least think about what would I do if I don't have this? What are my options? So.
And how important is it? Because here's the other key thing that happens with animal owners. And it doesn't matter if you own a big, big animal like horses, or if you own small animals, companion animals, or if your horse is your companion animal, because that can happen. It doesn't matter. The problem is the same.
Right.
And what happens is you are so focused, appropriately so focused on getting back to what will become your new normal as quickly as possible, that things like preventive medication for animals sometimes falls by the wayside. Not intentionally. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it does. It does. And so the way that I want to help you remember that or realize the importance of continuing the preventive medication is that we usually see the proliferation of vector-borne diseases following natural disasters.
Ah, which makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. And one of those things that we can see a proliferation of tick-borne disease. And so while you may not always have a tick problem for your creature, all of the things that kind of keep that off the radar for you as a problem for your pet, those may go away. So if you live in an area that aggressively sprays for mosquitoes, well, that infrastructure may be gone for a little bit, right? Yeah. Because everyone else is trying to get back to normal too.
Yeah, let me tell you, in Miami, where I used to be, they aggressively spray everywhere, and you don't recognize it until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, how could people move down here? It's such infested with mosquitoes. It's so wet. But they didn't spray for a while. And, you notice you didn't go outside. And so all those vector-borne diseases, I don't know, but I imagine there's an increase down there in the fall.
And that's one of the myths about natural disasters is people say, oh my God, people are petrified of an epidemic, an outbreak of, infectious mm-hmm. disease happening. And the natural disaster by itself doesn't mean you're going to have a massive outbreak of some crazy infectious disease, but it can predispose events and it can produce conditions such that existing diseases in an area can proliferate. But the disaster itself doesn't cause an epidemic. Nope. And the biggest one we talk about is Haiti, right? They had an earthquake in Haiti. Earthquakes don't bring about epidemics. Like infectious disease earthquake, those things are not causally related. But what earthquakes, like what happened in Haiti, do is bring help. So the international community responded, right? Unfortunately, an international aid worker introduced cholera into Haiti.
Ah, that's what happens. I think that's not necessarily a known thing. I think you're right. I think most people assume causation, right?
Right. And it's not true.
Earthquake, broken water lines, all kinds of crazy stuff happening, bad hygiene. That must be caused by the earthquake and all this other stuff. But you're telling me that's not what happened?
No.
It was introduced by someone with good intentions.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But maybe not the smartest thing at that point.
Yeah. So that is like people don't even realize that they associate a natural disaster with some sort of epidemic of infectious disease when those things are not tied together. If you have a hurricane or a fire or an earthquake or something like this, a volcanic eruption, those things do not bring they don't cause an outbreak or an epidemic. But they could be associated with one because of subsequent events. And so for pets, that's very true. We will see the exacerbation of underlying issues. So underlying issues could be if you live in a heartworm endemic area, then a lot of times about 6 months after any sort of natural disaster, we see an increase in heartworm cases because people forgot to stick to their schedule. Maybe they religiously were giving their heartworm prevention and they stopped because, hey, bigger fish to fry, right?
Right.
So they got off their schedule. So what I'm saying is guard against that as a responsible chatterbox who's an animal lover, guard against that. And just put it on your list of things that you need to make sure that you're prepared for with your creature. But tick-borne disease.
Wait, hold on. You brought up a list.
Oh.
We should talk about that because that's probably important. Because we're talking about a lot of things and it's starting to be quite a few. And those of us down here on the peninsula that feel exposed every fall probably have a list, right? But maybe not everybody. A list to do, okay, we have this coming. Blah, blah, blah. We have a checklist of things to worry about.
Yep.
You recommend that people have that for their pets.
Oh, yeah. Don't like
for themselves, but also for their pets.
Yeah. Like, don't try to remember everything. Gosh, heaven help the poor, person who memorized something and forgets one item. Right.
Right.
There's no need for that. Like, it doesn't make you cool. Like, it's not like the universe gives you extra points if you just memorize it.
Yeah. Write it down.
So write it down and make sure everyone knows it. Mm. And then, when tornado season, although tornadoes can happen at any time, but, they happen more often during certain times of the year. Mm. So during tornado season, during fire season, if you're on the Pacific Coast, get those things together in a pile or at least mentally do the mental exercise of going over, where did I put that last time? So that you know where it is and make the list. So the list is how much feed do we have? It's like a checklist. And there's a lot of them out there. You can find a lot of different checklists for animal owners, depending on what type of creature you have. Yeah, pick one of those. Pick one of those lists. And
someone's already done the work for you. Just get a list, go through it, make sure you're covered.
The other thing is, hey, you could ask your veterinarian.
What?
Yeah, you could ask your veterinarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have resources with lists that they can help tailor for your pet. So, or your creature. I keep saying pet, but people, I mean that in as in whatever species that you love or that you provide care for. So definitely an issue. But Jason, some people can't leave.
Yeah, they cannot.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause they have a farm. They can't leave.
They have a farm.
Okay. We hear you. We see you. Hey, we are you. We can't leave either.
This is true.
So it's a little bit different. So your preparation list, if you have a situation where, unless you are facing significant bodily injury, you can't leave.
Yeah.
So you need to start your preparations a little bit earlier, and they're going to be a little bit more labor intensive. So
a little bit.
A little bit, but you can have your list, because to me, taking action alleviates anxiety. If I can't take action, then my action is eating Oreos. So this is not a good scene for me. So make your list, talk to your neighbors, because you don't have to have the tractor. If you know a guy,
right,
and he knows that, you know, you're going to rely on him with his tractor, that sort of thing. Those are what we call in the professional world, wait for it, mutual aid agreements. Yeah.
I like it. Can you just say ma?
Ma. you could just say ma, right? Which might be confused with a sheep. Yeah. It's a mutual aid agreement.
Yeah. Figure out what you're going to do. I mean, it's all part of the plan. If you know you can't leave, or it takes a major, major situation for you to have to leave because you have so many other creatures relying on you, which is essentially what you're saying. You have many other creatures, but you have to. Okay, then the onus is on you, and you gotta take care of it. But it's not that big of a deal if you prepare. And eating Oreos isn't really preparing, but make a list, think about it, and try to be as prepared as you can, because that's pretty much what the only thing you can do.
Yeah,
is be as prepared as you can. But if you ignore it, I promise you, you're not prepared, and it's no fun.
Yep. 100%. So we do know vector-borne diseases will proliferate. So you want to make sure you have the best prevention, that you probably have them on all year round, I hope, because you're an informed pet owner if you're a chatterbox. Talk to your vet about that. The other thing that I just want to make sure that people know is that if you don't have any of this, and this is like the first time it's sort of coming on your radar, that's really okay. That's okay. Right. Yeah. Maybe you didn't know.
It doesn't matter when you get prepared, right? Just go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter if you're late to the game. Just get it done before it happens. Right. Better to be prepared before than try to figure it out after. I promise.
That's right. And there's a lot of resources available these days, right? Starting with, your veterinarian, talk with them about what they recommend. So, the other thing is, I want to like make you feel normal as a barometer. Almost 75% of businesses don't have a plan.
Yeah, that's it. Coming from Southern Florida, that seems a little crazy to me.
It's right? True, it seems, but it's true.
Not like crazy, they're crazy for not having a plan, but that's just a really high number for someone to say, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of businesses and places that don't necessarily have the situation that we have down here.
Sure.
Where we have a little bit of warning, right? I mean, still,
every year we get to practice.
Every year we get to practice, but I mean, there's tornadoes and hurricanes and fires and earthquakes, and I don't know anything about this, but I guess there's nor'easters. I don't even know what those are. They sound cold. Why don't people live up there? I don't know, but that's great. People like it.
Yeah.
There's something everywhere you live, right? Hopefully it has a season. Uh-huh.
So Dr. Jason, you've been through a bunch of storms and stuff. So like, what is your, what's your go-to story? Like your funniest story? Because when you have a place that has a ton of animals, like you can't leave, like what do you do? So what's your funniest story?
Well, I have several funny stories. Most of them I probably shouldn't tell even on the podcast because they were more like, okay, you weren't prepared for that. Didn't have any of that. And no one thinks about it. Although almost everybody thinks about it now is toilet paper, but we won't go into that. So the funniest, it's not funny, right? But you think about, you know, the first place I was at, again, so because we were just not prepared. I mean, I wasn't prepared, with the exotic ranch, you know, and a hurricane really just kind of blew over it. Everyone was sort of, all the fences were down. I mean, 80% of the fences were down. Luckily, we're on like 8,000 acres, but it's not necessarily funny, but it's a good story and it makes you feel good. But you realize these animals are dependent on you, right? And so a lot of people were kind of really worried the animals were going to disperse and be in the native environment and lost forever and go breed and set up stuff. Well, no, guess what they wanted? They wanted food, right? And they're so used to getting food that the first thing we did was not go put the fences up. That was like not what we did. It was go put the normal, everyone likes a routine, including your pets and including whatever animals you're taking care of. So we would go put all of the food down. And guess what? 95% of the animals said, oh, okay, interesting weather we're having. Where's my breakfast? And they all came up. And then as they came up, then we could work on putting, you know, making the area secure. So I don't know if that's a funny story, but it's sort of not necessarily what you would think about doing first is putting the food down before you take care of securing the place. So,
but I will say that is the exception. That place is the exception. The majority of people who have any sort of non-traditional creatures, number one, they're required by law, by the government, to have a plan of action. And that plan includes securing the creatures in place despite any disaster so that they do not escape.
Right.
Furthermore, the majority of people who have those animals have them in such a way that they can actually secure them in smaller places so that whether the fences are damaged or not, those animals are not escaping. So I would say probably that place not having that situation might have been in like less than 1%.
Doesn't matter. It's what happened to me, right? So yeah, that's my story. And I would say that putting the food down and getting the animals up would fall into securing the animals, right? That can mean a lot of different things. Getting your eyes on the animals for sure was important. I would say that you're right. In most places, like say a typical, suburban zoo can't just do that. But you know, they're probably not going to run into the same sort of issues.
Right. And so, so it's really not an issue if you have someone in your community who has non-traditional animals. Don't be concerned. It's unlikely that they're elevating any threat for you following a disaster, because the majority, and I mean, I never say 100%, but like 99.9% of those people have a method where whether or not the fencing is damaged, they will contain those animals. So it's not necessarily a routine threat following disaster or one that you should concern yourself with in your larger community.
Plus, this was like a major, major storm that hit directly on this place. And that doesn't happen very often either. Most of the fences in these kind of places are made to withstand these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think what is also interesting is that a lot of places that have different creatures, they might spend 3 hours just catching every single bird. Imagine if you had to go and catch every single bird and put them in a box, because then
they're more secure.
Yeah. Place. So that if the damage does happen, they're safe. And then you can quickly repair that and put them right back out as soon as the storm passes. So yeah. And I think it is true that those animals, a lot of times they sense there's something happening because they can sense the barometric pressure changes, et cetera. And the same thing with fire. So when fire's approaching, like, I think it's an instinctual thing. Animals are afraid of fire.
Well, yeah, they kind of have their own anxiety. So birds, like flocking birds, you can tell, like, wait, like a bunch of flamingos. If a hurricane's coming, right, they're out in the middle of the water. Fire, it probably gone.
Right.
They know what a fire means.
Woo! Yes, so. Exactly. So we encourage everyone to get a plan, People, Pets, and Marmosets. And there are lots of places. So we'll drop some links in the show notes for folks, for places that we know you can go get some solid advice to start your list of making sure you have feed or food available for a month. Make sure you have all your preventive medications. I mean, get some probiotics, have those available, because I'm going to tell you the biggest derangement that happens is a stress enteritis. I don't care what kind of creature it is. So the happier and healthier you make that gut, the happier and healthier you will be if you have to evacuate or not. Hmm. So that's it. And then you want to make sure that you've got a good place to go. If you have to go, somewhere. So those are our kind of our top tips for your.
Right. So I know we do know that. I have one more that when we did this, I found to be very interesting.
Okay.
Is communication. And everyone says, I have a phone tree. Everyone tells me that. I say that's the biggest mistake people can make is have a phone tree where it's one-to-one-to-one. You need to have the idea is right, but you probably should have a phone bush, right? Where I'm calling four people and my friend Tom is going to call four people, two of which are the same that I'm calling. So you have some redundancy because if one link in the chain or whatever in a tree is broken, you're done. But just to help each other out, what was that? What was that? Mutual aid agreement. Yeah. So it's really good. You can kind of help each other out and put those phone numbers where on your list where you can call these people and talk about stuff and say, hey, I have this. You can kind of help each other out. So,
yes. And I'll say this in the chat room, chatterboxes, if you guys want more information about all this kind of stuff, like if you want us to talk about the specific diseases that may occur, et cetera, hey, send us an email because Dr. Jason and I can chatter on about disasters for hours.
A long time. Yeah, we probably only covered a very, little bit of it. And there's a lot more to it.
But
just and like, you know, because it is that time of year here.
So. Yeah, what do you do when? Because I think recognizing some first aid and trauma things that you can do as an informed animal owner safely, where you're not going to cause a bigger problem, but you can start to mitigate some of the injury to your creature. I think those things are useful, but send us an email, let us know. Because we like it and we've lived it, we love to talk about it. So let us know if you want to hear more about that sort of thing. Otherwise, what are you doing? Turn the podcast off and go out and get a coop. Go out and get yourself a plant. Get started.
That's right. Go get a coop.
Yeah.
Work on it.
Right. Embrace your inner poultry lover and get a coop. So I think that's all we have today. For this discussion, everyone should have a fancy hat, at least one.
I was going to say, let's talk about the hat again. That was great.
Everyone should have at least one, at least one. All right. And shout out to Erica, my friend who also has the same love for a fancy hat and horses. So, all right. I'm Dr. Jen.
And I'm Dr. Jason Chatfield.
And we'll see you guys the next time when you join us in the chat room.
This episode of Chats with the Chatfields is brought to you by
Full Bucket, veterinary strength supplement.